But I'd like to talk about the disaster, the massacre which took place, where we are saying that, of course, this massacre in Texas, and there was a subsequent one actually after that, and there was one before that. You're raising the question as to what possible justification could there be for permitting any 18-year-old boy or girl to acquire an AR-15 style rifle. You point out that at one time when Mr. Trump was still the acting president, he had concerns and he actually wanted to do something about prohibiting certain weapons to be sold, but then he was told at the time that don't do it, because if you were to do that, if you were to do that, you wouldn't be elected. And now he seemed to have a quote-unquote change of heart. And now he gave a speech talking about the fact that we should arm teachers with concealed firearms. He didn't endorse any gun control measures anymore, but several newsletters pointed out, even pro-Trump newsletters, that he had done it in the past, but he didn't do it anymore in the future. And of course, he took totally the stance of the gun lobby. Now, was it a change of heart? Was it only because he hopes to be reelected and he figures that if I fight the powerful NRA conglomerate, there's no way that I can get reelected? When it comes to Mr. Biden, did he have a change of heart? Because right now he is very strongly talking about gun control, even indicating that the Second Amendment should probably be changed, amended. But when he was a senator, he made it very clear that those gun controls would not, in his mind, help at all, because those criminals would get the weapons illegally. So was that a change of heart? Now, I'm bringing out these points because I want to show you how dirty and rotten our political system is. It has to do, really, with how to come to power. Dr. Oz, right now, declared victory, and he won the Republican side of it in Pennsylvania. And, of course, now he has to fight against the Democrat candidate. But, you know, frankly, it makes no sense that Mr. Trump would have endorsed him and not his challenger, who was, from a political standpoint, got closer to Mr. Trump than Dr. Oz was. And it appears like the only reason why Dr. Oz was helped by Mr. Trump, and because of that probably won, is because he was a celebrity. And the thought was, okay, with his celebrity status, he's probably going to be winning when it comes to the midterm elections. So it doesn't look like it has a lot to do with conviction. It has a lot to do with how to come to power and how to stay in power. Several years ago, I gave a series of sermons on our rotten system when it comes to the economy, when it comes to politics, when it comes to the law. I'd like to talk about the law a little bit right now. In our update, we pointed out that Clinton lawyer Michael Sussman was acquitted. Now, of course, he was allegedly lying to the FBI. That was the only charge brought against him, and he was acquitted. And there was really no surprise that he would be acquitted, because this whole thing was already determined from the outset. There was a lawyer, a judge, who had been appointed by Mr. Obama. There were several on the jury who were Clinton supporters. The judge was very anxious to not allow to have anything stated in the trial which could in any way bring a negative light on Clinton. We pointed that actually out in our update in an article, saying that Clinton was not supposed to be the object of the Sussman trial because Judge Christopher Cooper, an Obama appointee, issued a series of orders limiting the scope of the trial and its evidence. The orders were viewed as sparing the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee potential embarrassments. So this was already predetermined that this guy would be acquitted and that Clinton would not be in any way, manner, shape, or form referred to. Of course, she was referred to by one of the witnesses, and this was almost like slaughtering a holy cow when her name came up, because, you know, the Clintons have had a very good history of trying to absolve all responsibility, always blaming somebody else, but they were always coming out smelling like a rose. Again, we are having examples of complete, total political corruption, but I'm not going to stop here. I want to go a lot further. Some of us have seen recently the movie Top Gun Maverick. Actually, I like the movie, but having said that, I don't want to deprive you of the knowledge that the Pentagon was heavily involved in the script, but not only in that script. We're going to read an article in the next update by the Los Angeles Times, of all outlets, that the Pentagon and the Central Intelligence Agency have exercised direct editorial control over more than 2,500 films and television shows. The scandalous situation is such that unless the Pentagon gave approval to the scripts, and unless they had the right to rewrite the scripts, the movies couldn't have been made and issued. That is the kind of propaganda the American people, in many cases unsuspectingly, are being and becoming victims of. You all heard about, I would assume, the arrest of Peter Navarra yesterday. Now, if you haven't heard about it, the FBI arrested former House Economic Advisor Peter Navarra on Friday. The arrest came one day after Navarra, and listen to this now, one day after Navarra appeared on left-wing MSNBC to promise that he would lead efforts to promote the impeachment of President Joe Biden if Republicans take Congress in the midterm elections, which they are expected to do. So they quickly arrested him. He was in contempt of a summons, which this Congress committee investigating the January 6th concept, you know, had issued. Now, many feel that committee is a sham and a farce. It is run by Democrats exclusively. There are two Republicans on it, rhinos. I mean, they are Democrats for all practical purposes. Fox News wrote on June 3 that Navarra alleged that the prosecution was acting in bad faith. This is something that needs to get to the Supreme Court, he added. Department of Justice appears to have colluded with the White House and Congress. Navarra has called the January 6th committee illegitimate and is suing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi over the committee's activity. Navarra continues to assert executive privilege since he worked at the Trump White House and said he was exempt from appearing before the committee. Newsmax wrote on June 3 that legal experts say the indictment filed on Friday against former Trump White House official Peter Navarro is nothing more than a political witch hunt. The editorial board of the New York Post wrote on June 3, former Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro was cuffed and dragged into custody on Friday for no reason. It goes on to say, this is pure, ugly politics. The Justice Department and the January 16 committee are coming down hard on Navarro for being a Donald Trump ally, nothing else. So they dragged him out of an airport, apparently out of an airplane, cuffed him, brought him to the court, and the court then released him. Didn't think there was any flight risk whatsoever. The whole thing was absolutely for the only purpose to make a political point. Why am I bringing this up? And there could be a lot more to be said about it. You know, I have been practicing law for many, many years, first in Germany and then here, have been present when deliberations were taking place, have seen how judgments are being entered, what is behind it. Every time there is a case where somebody had been innocently sitting in prison for many years, and then it became clear that the person was innocent, and then he was released from prison. And then some commentator is saying, oh, we see again how our legal system works. My answer is, what do you mean by works? I mean, what do you mean by putting a person into custody, placing him into jail for many, many years, and he is innocent? And then you have the guts to say, when finally his innocence is being revealed, oh, our system works. How can a corrupt legal system run by Satan, the devil, work? That is a question I'd like to ask you, but I really want to ask you another question. For many years, we have known in the Church of God that it is absolutely wrong, ungodly, to serve on a jury. We knew that. We knew that because we knew that a jury is not going to be able, even if they wanted to utter righteous judgment. Why is that so? Well, we just had a case. The judge doesn't even allow certain important evidence to come in. Lawyers come together, and they are agreeing on quote-unquote the facts, even though these mightn't have been the facts. You know, of course, Christ said you shouldn't judge at all. But let's think in terms of a civil and a criminal case. Now, even a civil case you shouldn't do because you probably don't have the facts to render a righteous judgment, even though, of course, you shouldn't even be there to begin with. But what about a criminal case? Think about the fact that you are one of these jurors finding a person guilty, sending him to jail. Apparently, I mean, in certain cases, might have even ended up in execution because he received the death penalty. And then it turns out that the person was innocent. How can you, being partially responsible for that development, sleep at night? I mean, have you completely, totally gotten to the point where you have no more conscience left? No more conscience. Don't care anymore that you are responsible for sending an innocent person to jail and even killing him, perhaps. I mean, these are the questions which we in the Church of God should ask ourselves. I cannot, by the life of me, understand how people who at one time knew that it was awfully wrong, ungodly, satanic to serve on a jury, now feel happy to do so. In certain organizations, they are happy to do so. How can that be? Let me just issue a warning for those who might be listening in, if they do. You are walking a very dangerous road towards the unpardonable sin and the lake of fire if you don't repent, and repent soon. You read about these cases. You listen to these cases. You know about these cases. How can you support it? How can you possibly be part of it? A Babylonian system which God says, come out of it, my people. Otherwise, you are going to get the plagues which I, God, will pour out over this world. These are just some words of caution. I like to be very strong about this because I have been there. I have worked in the legal system. I know what it is like. You don't want to be there in any manner, shape, or form. Not on a jury. Not voting for a political candidate. Well, certainly not going to war, because all these three things go together. One leads to the next.